Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts. There we
are is still family. In Illinois, an interesting case has arisen. Two parents are going to fight for custody of their five-month-old son this week. Custody battles, a very familiar, although sad story, but this one has an interesting angle to it. The mother in this case is a quadriplegic, and the baby's father says she is not fit to raise him because of her disability. Lisa Belkin is with us, Takeaway Family contributor and author of the Motherload blog. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Can you give us the basic details about this case of Kaney O'Neill in Illinois?
Yeah, Kaney O'Neill has a five-month-old boy, Aiden, and she has been paralyzed, quadriplegic, for about 10 years now. So the child was conceived while she was in a wheelchair. Everyone knew what they were getting into, and then the couple broke up. And now her boyfriend is saying that she is not fit to raise the child, that he should have full custody because of her disability.
That's the only reason that he has for the basis of this custody case?
As far as we know, yes. And, you know, based on reports and filed papers, yes, that's his main argument. And she has a lot of help. She's living in a house with extended family who are helping to take care of the child. She's a full-time caregiver. She has a service dog. And she has spent months before the baby was born rearranging her life, figuring out what she can do, inventing things with her various caregivers that enable her to do things like diaper the baby and that sort of thing. So this didn't come as a huge surprise to anyone, but the question has now been put on the table in front of the courts. Is she capable of caring for this baby?
And this is not the first time these type of custody cases have come up, right, Lisa Belkin? This is not unusual.
No, there is precedent, although courts are always reevaluating. And interestingly, the question at the center of all of this is what makes a parent a parent? I mean, the standard is the best interest of the child. That's changed. It used to automatically be mom. Now it's let's see who can best care for the interests of the child. But what are the interests of the child? Well, is it physical safety because mom has to be able to get there? Is it, you know, running and playing and throwing a ball? There's actually the Supreme Court of California ruled in a case like this a good while ago, back in 1979, and their definition was the essence of parenting is not to be found in the harried rounds of daily carpooling and such. And then they go on to say, rather, its essence lies in the ethical, emotional, and intellectual guidance the parent gives the child throughout his formative years and often beyond. Well, is a parent?
That's a state decision, right?
That is a state decision.
I mean, what is curious to me about this case is it seems ridiculous on its face. There are all kinds of quadriplegic parents all over the world these days. Why is this suddenly an issue just because this dad, ex-boyfriend wants to make it an issue?
There are quadriplegic parents, there are blind parents, there are deaf parents, there are parents with all spectrum of disabilities, and this case has made it to this particular court.
Well, let's bring in Dr. Corinne Vinopal, president of the Institute for Disability Research and Training. Dr. Vinopal, you've also served as a hearing officer in some disability disputes. What is the law here when it comes to cases like this one with Kaney O'Neill in Illinois? Where do we get disability law that affects custody cases?
Well, I'm not an expert in custody cases per se. I'm more an expert in educational cases. But most cases revolving around people with disabilities relate to civil rights legislation. And of course, there are other types of disability law related to employment and to education. With civil rights, those kind of cases more pertain to the rights of the individual to access to have their rights protected as other people's are. In education and in business, it's more poses requirements upon the public services or the businesses to provide access to people with disabilities.
Do you think, Dr. Vinopal, that there are cases in which maybe a child's welfare would be negatively affected by a parent's disability?
I think it's possible. But I wouldn't categorize it as the disability itself. I would more say that children's rearing is based upon people's abilities. So you can have a named disability like mental retardation or blindness or deafness, and there are all kinds of degrees. And people even who have the same degree of disability may have different abilities to cope with child rearing.
That would argue, of course, that all of these custody cases would have to be very individualized. In other words, if they're going to consider someone's disability and making them an unfit parent, they might have to consider whether a parent who works 90 hours a week would then also have trouble rearing a child.
And that's true.
So, Lisa, what is your response to this? I mean, the court is going to have to decide whether not Kaney O'Neill in Illinois is an unfit parent just because she needs caretakers in order to help her with her kid. But I need caretakers for my kid. I have to send my kid to daycare. I have to have babysitters.
And on a completely different subject, yes, parents are losing custody for exactly that reason. Interestingly, working mothers are now beginning to lose custody more often because they are the sole provider. And so they have lost custody to the stay-at-home father. It is ever evolving. And the question is, how can a court decide in any given case what the best interests is of a child? In this case, interestingly, I think what we're seeing is how much a quote-unquote disabled parent can do. That's what the spotlight is shining on here.
And I think that the scary part is not whether this is going to set precedents just for disabled parents, but what kind of precedent it sends for all parents in terms of what percentage of my time do I have to spend just focus on taking care of my kid before the court decides I'm an unfit parent.
I don't think the court's coming to your house today, but I do think that, yes, this is something that is coming up in courts more and more often.
Okay, Lisa Belkin is author of the Motherload blog and also a Takeaway contributor. We are also joined by Dr. Corinne Vinopol, president of the Institute for Disabilities Research and Training, and she's also been a hearing officer for disabilities disputes. Thanks to both of you.
It's a disabled father of five. I'm scared that a court would even consider her disability
as an issue. It's a really scary thing.
But, well, we'll certainly watch that. If you missed anything, we're always on here at The Takeaway. Take our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. And with its many ups and downs, 2009 was a turbulent year for many. We're looking ahead to 2010, and we want to know, what do you think will be the big story of the new year, new decade? What's your prediction? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org, where you can match wits with Marcus Mabry.
America simply doesn't have the sort of resources to put into Yemen to follow the Afghanistan model, if you like. And of course, many experts are saying that actually the Afghanistan model is not really the way to pursue problems in Yemen.
Or you could match wits with Jonathan Marcus, the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. He talked about the agenda. What do you think is the agenda for this year? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.